The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
So good evening and welcome to another final hooter here on Radio General. I've got Dave Butch in the studio with me.
Good evening. You all right?
I'm good, thank
thanks,
you.
Thanks for having me for the first time this year.
Yeah, well, you know, you were that good on the Christmas special. We thought we'd bring you back.
Oh, excellent. Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
And you've also got your opportunity to have your go at me, because everyone seems to be wanting to have a go at Lee Centurion, so I'm the next best thing.
I'm just still wallowing in Warrington's glory. That's, of course, the first piece of silverware this season. People say it's always their year, so we're already one trophy up, aren't we? The MBS Site Supplies Challenge Cup winners 2016. Bit of a mouthful, but they all count.
Hey, it's a bonny trophy as well. Did you see the size of it?
It's very shiny from where I was sat at the back on the press benches.
I thought it was amazing. You know, they've definitely not gone to the same hubcap shop that the rest of the rugby league has gone to get that.
Well, oh yeah, it was probably better than the league leader shield.
I'll let you into a secret as well. They actually brought it into the to the post-match press conference as well, you know, and it overshadowed everything. They put it in the middle of the table and, you know, Tony Smith didn't know whether to sit on top of it or bend his head round it or anything. It was covering him up, and it's a, you know, really impressive trophy, one which Warrington won in quite some style. I thought
yeah, they were very impressive. First sort of 10 minutes or so, Lee started off really quickly, but Warrington's defence was holding out quite a bit, and then obviously Higson went in at the corner, and you thought, you know what, this could be a bit of an afternoon like the Challenge Cup match was, a bit end to end. Warrington then managed to get a bit of hands-on ball, got themselves down the field and got a well-earned equalising try from Ashton Sims after some great work from Darrell Clark. And then, the next try was a bit of a killer for Lee, because although it was a good try from Gene Ormsby, it took out two Lee players, and that was a big miss, especially as you had to reshuffle at the back as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, Greg McNally is such a key to the way that Lee Centurions play the game, and the rumours that we're hearing is that he could be out of action for a couple of months, which
that's terrible news.
A bad blow, especially for a player just coming on the back of a pre-season and looking to really hit the ground running, and he certainly hit the ground and unfortunately didn't get up again, and ended up going off. It's a medial...
I actually thought in commentary, because obviously it was in the far corner from where I was sat, I thought the two players actually clashed heads to start with, but because one was sort of down holding the knee, one was down holding the head, and Gene Ormsby was in the middle, you know, scoring a try sort of thing. You know, it's to take two players out, and as you said, pre-season, it's the worst thing that could happen. I think that's probably one of the satisfying things with Warrington, is there didn't seem to be any big or bad injuries happened in that game. I know Matty Russell pulled out before the match, but actually during the game, you just don't want your players to get injured, especially when you're playing the Leeds Rhinos next week.
That's true. So yeah, the Centurions also lost Greg Worthington in the same incident, and ended up putting a quite inexperienced centre out there. And it would be fair to say that you know, Warrington Super League know-how ended up winning through, and I thought they targeted that ruthlessly, to be honest.
They did, and but that's a sign of a good team. And
very,
you know,
much so.
We've mentioned for a couple of years now Warrington's a lack of half-back partnership, also lack of decent kicking game or consistent kicking game. And I thought both of them shone again. We mentioned it when we watched the Christmas friendly against Widnes, how Warrington's kicking game had improved through Declan Patton and Gidley. And, you know, Chris Sandow's kicking game was a fantastic, I thought, on Sunday. And the know-how of Gidley, I mean, you know, he just looks different gravy altogether. You know, it's just a shame he's in the later years of his rugby career, because you'd love to have him for 10 years down here, but I don't think he's going to last that long.
possibly not. Well, he did 10 years at Newcastle Knights, didn't he?
He did 15, I think, wasn't he?
Right, you were there, David, commentating for Radio General, and this is the best of the action.
As Mickey Hyam busy scampering, and he's trying to make a few yards. He made a couple of metres there, and Ridyard will go into the acting half-back position to spread the ball out to the right-hand side. Brearley slips, manages to get the ball away to McNally. McNally gets the ball away to the wing, and it looks like Lee are in for the first score of the afternoon. Looks like it's Adam Higson, and it has been given. So we've just 5 minutes on the board. Lee Centurions, who've started off the brightest in this match, have gone in for the first score of the afternoon, and it's Adam Higson who has gone over in the right-hand corner and on the attack, and Kurt Gidley nearly gets Benny Westwood through a gap, but again a good tackle from Mickey Hyam this time. And Darrell Clark scampering, running, he is through a little gap. Can Clark make his way? And it's a quick offload, and Ashton Sims is over for the Warrington Wolves first try of the afternoon, but a great little break from Darrell Clark and a little offload to Ashton Sims, and he gets his name on the score sheet. 11 minutes gone now, and it's Warrington Wolves 4, Lee Centurions 4 with the kick. Warrington has five more tackles, 10 metres from this line. Can they make this pressure pay? As Westwood gives the ball now to Ashton Sims. Sims offloads to Kevin Penny. Penny going sideways across the field to Sandow. Sandow to Curry. Curry out to Ormsby. Can Ormsby get past Higson? He can. And Gene Ormsby is in for the second try for Warrington of the afternoon. And he managed to make his way under Adam Higson there. And a couple of Lee Centurions players have actually clashed heads there as Ormsby went straight through them. So it's Benny Westwood who's taken the ball, and he's tackled by Corey Patterson. Good tackle that from Patterson. And Mickey Hyam as well, as Warrington come from left to right. And Chris Sandow out to Reese Evans. Can Evans go himself? He is. I tell you what, he's going for the line here. And I'm not sure if he's got a foot in touch there, but it's looking okay. And the referee has given the score. And I tell you what, Reese Evans, he had Tom Liner on his outside, but he backed himself to go. And he went into the corner, and he has got Warrington Wolves' third try of the afternoon. 24 minutes on the board. And it's good to see Reese Evans playing and playing well. He's had been dogged by injuries over the past few seasons, and he has got the potential to be an absolute superstar. Going right to the right-hand side, it's Jack Hughes who picks up the ball. Hughes is bundled to the floor by three Lee Centurions players. Mickey Hyam, the last one to let him up. Kurt Gidley now running towards line. Gidley going himself. Gidley, that is what we have paid our money for. Absolutely brilliant from the Australian. Kurt Gidley, 15 metres out, scampered in between two players. Great quick feet. And I tell you what, this guy has started off his Warrington Wolves career in a great way. He had an absolutely fantastic match against Widnes in the Christmas friendly, and he's been absolutely fantastic in this first half as well. And that's his first try in Warrington Wolves colours as well. And Warrington are extending their lead here at the Halliwell Jones Stadium to 20. Gene Ormsby now taking the first tackle for the Wolves. So Darrell Clark at Hatton halfback has been very impressive in this first half. Westerman to Sandow. Little gap for Hughes. Hughes gives it to Evans. Evans is very much overlap here with Lynham. Lynham is heading towards the corner, and Evans is found in this time, and Tom Lynham is over for his first. Sandow out to the left. Sandow, little ball to Curry. Curry out, little ball again, and it's great hands from the Warrington Wolves, and Gene Ormsby is in for his second try of the afternoon. It's took him just 5 minutes of the second half to get onto the score sheet, and again just great hands, and Lee couldn't tie up the ball, and the ball went through. Little pass to Ben Curry. Curry got it away to Gene Ormsby, and Ormsby had a walk in, but it still needed to be put down. Three, but Dwyer picks it up. Dwyer gives it to Curry. Curry is in open space. He's going himself. He's round the fullback. He is all. I tell you what, I thought Powell had got him. Went down on one knee, but Ben Curry managed to pick himself up again. And he has managed to get himself over, and he's had an impressive afternoon today through this left-hand side, and he went through the channel. And Ben Curry has got his name on the scoreboard. It'll be a penalty to the Wolves just 10 metres out. And it's starting a few frustrations for the Centurions team today, and they haven't had much ball, and it's been a difficult afternoon for them. Warrington being in the ascendancy. Sandow gives it to Atkins, inside ball to Penny. That is one off the training ground. Absolutely brilliant. Sandow to Atkins, a little inside ball, and Kevin Penny running in on the angle from fullback, and he's over in the corner, and he gets his first points of the afternoon. First try for him today. So Brad Dwyer to Benny Westwood. Lots of little passing from Warrington. Lots of little intricate passing. It's been something again they've been trying in training. Something to look out for the season. Sandow now goes up to the long pass to Ormsby. Ormsby, is he going to get his hat-trick? I think he is. And Gene is in out the corner. And he ducked under the challenge there of Johnny Powell. He couldn't stop him. And Gene Ormsby has got a hat-trick this afternoon. And again, great little pass from Chris Sandow. Bullet pass taken really well from Ormsby. Difficult to take. He managed to duck under the challenges of the Lee Centurions defenders. And Gene Ormsby will be happy that he has got a hat-trick this afternoon.
Yes, and it finished 46 points to 4 to Warrington Wolves, or Wolves, as I think he said at one point.
The Wolves, yeah. The Wolves.
The Wolves.
You've not seen the sign.
I have seen that one.
The famous Wilderspool sign.
It was all over Twitter and Facebook and everything back in the day, wasn't it?
I think it is now. It always gets a rehash. Normally every time there's a local derby when we play a Widnes or Wigan or Saints, it usually gets rehashed or retweeted, should we say.
So Warrington tries on the day by Ashton Sims, Gene Ormsby with a hat-trick, Reece Evans with one, Kurt Gidley with that little individual show and go right near the line, Tom Lynham with a flying effort at the corner, Ben Curry where he was motoring.
Very much so. A pound did well just to get a hand on him, didn't he? But just wasn't strong enough to sort of keep him down.
And finally, Kevin Penny, who earned a little bit of praise post-match from boss Tony Smith, because he stepped into the fullback breach.
He did, and of course they named a team on the couple of days before that match, and Penny was due to play on the wing, Matty Russell was due to play at fullback. So when the team sheets came out before the game, obviously we were all a little bit surprised. Obviously we didn't know about the injury to Russell, but Kevin Penny, you know, played that position against St George last year in the World Cup Challenge and played it well, and he played pretty solid on Sunday as well.
The Centurions scoring just the one try, that from Adam Higson, expertly called, I thought, by yourself there, Dave.
As neutral as I could have been.
And let us now hear from Warrington boss Tony Smith as he gives us his feedback.
Good solid performance today. Thought they went about their business in the right manner, and was challenging at stages, you know, to do that, but I thought we had a lapse in the first few minutes there, and the lapse was just getting our positional starting positions weren't great on our try line, and they gave us a little kick up the tail because we didn't get that right, which is, you know, what they can do. And but after that, I thought we were really really solid, professional, went about it, you know, in the right sort of manner. Thought we controlled things after the probably 75 minutes of that game. So pleased, but you know, and we're not getting carried away. You know, we should too. We're a Super League team. They're a Championship team. We should do that. You know, we should control the match like that. And it was a good Super League friendly performance from us.
First look at the two guys together at halfback. He's happy with what they did.
Yeah, they were good. They were very good, both of them. I thought terrific. Showed some of what they're capable of. You know, I think there's more to come from all our players, and I think, you know, individually, I thought a lot of them showed where they're at the moment, which was good. You know, and most of them would get a. Most players would get a tick in the good box today for this stage of the year. But I think there's a lot of improvement in us, a lot of improvement across the board. I think those two boys will improve throughout the season. But I thought they were good, Chris and Kurt, their combination. Liked when they worked together, and you know, I thought their kicking game was pretty good as well. You know, Chris predominantly on the kicking game today, but... yeah, I thought they were both combined well and did a good job. Matty Russell pulled out, by the way. He was due to play fullback for us. And we had a reshuffle yesterday at team run because he's had sickness for the last 2 days. He's been training at fullback. So, unfortunately, Matty didn't get a run out today. But Kev did a good job at fullback for us and slotted in. And Gene got the call up to have a crack. But... I thought Ben Curry was fantastic, and Reece Evans. They were, you know, two really good players today. I think they really shone. But there was a lot of good performances across the board.
It was physical as well, wasn't it? Is that just what you needed at this point?
Yeah, well, you expect that with Lee, don't you? You know, you expect a physical performance. So we knew we were going to get that. We knew that we were going to get challenged physically at times, but I thought we faced up to that physicality and kept our composure and our discipline as well. I thought we were very disciplined there today, where it could have really got out of hand. And, you know, it was a challenging game for the referee to referee, you know, as well. I thought it was tough for James to control that match at certain times. And but, you know, that's just... I think everybody who plays Lee knows that and gets ready for it. So, you know, and is part of your team preparation, you know, to keep your discipline and keep your, you know, try to keep your players on the field.
Try and keep your players on the field against Lee? What's he on about? I just thought it was a good physical battle, to be honest.
It was, and there's some good hit-ups. Ashton Sims and your new man, Dane Weston, who I apologise on air now for keep calling him Dane Webster for all, most of the commentary. So Dane Weston, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it
so
is.
I apologise because he's a big fella, so don't upset him.
Of course, Weston and Ashton Sims, they actually were teammates at one point back in the day for St George Illawarra back in Jersey Fleg.
Oh, excellent. Yes.
Under 20s.
So, of course, they had a bit of history then. But, you know, there was good little battles there. And, of course, Gareth Hock was throwing it about a bit. I thought a couple of times he was a little bit over-indisciplined. He gave away a silly penalty for an instant with Kurt Gidley. That then resulted in Warrington scoring a try. But, you know, his running with the ball was normal, Gareth Hock, and, you know, he's very, very strong, and, you know, he looks better than Lee, I'm afraid. You know.
See, here's where I'll disagree with you a little bit here, Dave, because I think that Gareth Hock was Lee's best player on the day. It was a real edge between him and Dane Weston, who also put himself about, as we've already talked about. But I don't know. I know every time Gareth Hock, he takes some tough punishment. I mean, every single time there's four or five men targeting him.
Yeah, and
I don't think he gets enough protection from referees per se, which is why he ends up
because he kept pushing them over in a previous life. That's why.
So I just get the feeling, you know, that I don't know. I feel that referees are penalising him based on his previous reputation. They're not penalising the man now, are they? Or they're not sort of seeing just what he can bring.
No, and it's sad, really, because as I said, you know, we did see that, you know, the good of Gareth Hock during that game. I also thought Corey Patterson was excellent, and you know, I was very impressed with that signing. Anyway, I was impressed with Patterson over the last couple of years in Super League, and if Warrington had signed Patterson, I'd have been happy with that. So a good signing for Lee, and he showed good glimpses as well. But of course, Ryan Briley was coming back from injury, so he probably wasn't, his very, very best. And of course, there was no Rangi either, was there?
There wasn't, no. Tell you what, now we've heard the Warrington side, let's hear the Lee feedback. And Paul Rowley, first of all, talks about the two injuries sustained.
Greg McAnally has got a medial injury. Obviously, it needs assessing, but it doesn't look too good. So first initial thoughts would be perhaps a grade 2 tear, which would be a 6-7 week job, so that's not good. Greg Worthington, concussion and stitches, so, you know, that's just one of those things. I guess that's the downside of friendlies, you know, picking up injuries, certainly to key people like those two. It was a nice lesson probably for Ezzy Harper out there, who, you know, would have done probably what we did with the Wigan fixture, give him the last 10 minutes or so. But it was a lot of swapping and changing, but such is life. You know, it's not a problem. Thought Warrington were really good today. We learned plenty from today and plenty to work on. We only dropped one set in the first half, so there's a lot of positives to take out of it, certainly with the ball. Just so vulnerable on edges defensively, and there were a bit of that in the Wigan game as well. Probably a bit of an attitude thing there as well within that, which we'll fix up. So, like I say, give us plenty to work on. But, it's a disappointing scoreline, that's for sure. And you know, we'll just take a lot of that video and rip it up and dissect it. And, you know, it's probably give me a good indication as to the 17th will start in that first fixture against Batley, and it'll give everyone and give our staff a lot of stuff to work on and get our teeth into him. And you know, we can be quite harsh and truthful in our assessment of certain areas. And that would be mainly on the defensive side, and again on edges that I thought we was vulnerable.
Very honest feedback there, I thought.
Very much so. You know, I have to agree with everything he said. You know, the completion rate in the first half was very good. The only maybe twisting it slightly was that Warrington did have a lot of ball in that first half. And
he did have the ball for about 10 minutes in that first half, longer than Lee, I think.
Yeah.
And there seemed to be a period of about 8 to 9 minutes where Lee just didn't touch the ball at all.
Yeah, and Warrington were very, very clinical as well. Especially, it's that they, you know, they made hard work of, you know, of obviously the injuries for Lee, and you know, they targeted them, and they were clinical, and maybe that's what Warrington haven't been clinical over the past couple of years, and you know, Lee come up against a very good Warrington performance on Sunday, so to spin it back, you know, they have got a lot of work in defence, but as you've said to me previously, they've got to come up against teams like that to improve.
That's it, because you know, you don't often get the chance to play against such class players in the Championship, with all due respect to the Championship.
You know, and you maybe only get one chance in the Challenge Cup. I know you had a good run last year, but you know, if this year they get, you know, say a big Super League club, they may only get one game. Mm. You know, so again, it's just one game against, you know, a Super League opposition, and then they're back down playing Championship until the middle eights. So, you know, hopefully Lee have you know, took the positives out of that performance, and it'll help them throughout the season.
Before we move on, that game was of course to commemorate Simon Griggs, the fact that the man who's got a testimonial event taking place at the moment at Warrington, he's done 10 years, 179 appearances. Before we hear Tony Smith's words about a player that he once tipped as a potential captain of Warrington, what are your thoughts about him?
Yeah, a lot of people have talked about, obviously, Simon's bad luck with injuries, but I always thought that, you know, yes, he missed 3 Challenge Cup finals and 3 Challenge Cup wins, but when Warrington did get to the grand final for the, you know, for the 2 seasons, I thought he was one of Warrington's best players for those, and he very rarely let Warrington down, and he could play in a number of positions. He was very clever, he had a good brain, he could play in the halves, you know, he preferred playing sort of loose forward in the second row, but, you know, the guy was absolutely outstanding. And from what I've read over the past sort of week or so as a build up to this match, I think his fellow professionals felt the same as well. And I think, you know, there's no, you know, Warrington have missed obviously a few big names, you know, retiring and leaving the club over the past couple of years, like Adrian Morley, Lee Breers, Mickey Hyer and Paul Wood, but I think they've also missed Griggs as well, from the sounds of things.
We've missed him for the last couple of years, you know, at different stages. We enjoy when he's on the park, but we've missed having Simon's toughness. We've missed having his rugby league nous, you know, and he is. So you can tell him and his brother played in the backyard growing up. You know, he gets it. He knows how to play footy, and we've needed some of that, and we've missed some of his brains. You know, I think we all have appreciated Simon's toughness and how much he plays above his weight, and but we've missed some of his smarts and some of his leadership. You know, and I'm going to say it in front of his and in front of Simon, but Simon's, you know, was a potential captain for this club. Whether he gets back to that, you know, he's still got aspirations to play, and if he ever got back to that sort of level, I'll have him. Don't worry about that. I'd have him drop of a hat, and he's had aspirations to be a captain of this club, and he's been a leader within this club for some time. And I would have found it tough if he had been physically able. This probably doesn't help him feel any better at the moment, but had he been physically able, you know, to play this year and start this year, and us to know that we had him for a full year, would have been hard for me to go, you know, against him being possible captain. You know, I'm not taking anything away from Hilly. I think Hilly's going to make a terrific captain for us as well, but, you know, Simon would have been potentially one of those people that would have been certainly considered highly, and yeah, it's not to be, but A lot of people have talked about Simon's injuries, and they did in their messages to him yesterday, and that he's had, and he has been unfortunate at different stages, but I'll tell you, he's had a fantastic career. He's been a very, very good rugby league player for a number of years, and look, there's not many people who can say that about the number of years that he's been able to play, so he should be very proud of it. Don't worry about what he hasn't been able to do or the games that he hasn't been able to compete in. When he's competed in those games, he's been terrific on almost every occasion. I rarely saw him play bad, and that's a compliment that not many players can get.
Back to the rugby league, eh?
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Certainly is a Radio General's answer to the rugby league question.
Well, what question?
The question of what's going on in the world of rugby league.
Lots. Especially over this, of course, as we round up to just a week away from Super League now, 8 days.
Are you getting excited?
I am, actually, yeah. I'm getting very excited now. I think it's probably because Warrington had a couple of good wins, so, you know.
That always helps.
Being a Warrington fan, you're getting a bit buoyed, you know, and, you know, you can't get a bigger game, really, than playing Leeds Rhinos' first game of the season at Headingley, you know, and beating the treble winners from last year, you know, putting them in the place.
Hang on. You've got to do it, first of all. You can't just talk about it.
It's going to happen. It'll happen. Don't worry.
You'll be getting hate mail from Yorkshire now.
Oh, I know. Apologies to Yorkshire. My thing with that at the moment is, obviously, there's a lot of things being posted on social media, etc., of, you know,
Yorkshire this, Yorkshire that.
Well, you know, who's going to be sort of, you know, the stars of the season coming up? Who's going to be, like, the best young players? Who's going to, you know, who's going to be the top try scorers and what have you? And I read a stat from an article from Sir Mr. Phil Clark.
Oh, yes.
And he's tipping Liam Sutcliffe to be Man of Steel within 5 years.
Wow.
So, because of his tipping, obviously, you know, he tips Salford every year and they haven't even got into the playoffs. So I think Liam Sutcliffe could probably end up playing Championship within the next 18 months. So Warrington shouldn't have a problem.
I hope not. He's a very talented player, isn't he, Liam Sutcliffe?
He was, until Phil Clark tips him. Sorry, Liam. I'm sure you'll be at an England international very, very soon.
Right, there wasn't just Warrington in action at the weekend. It was also Widnes. They played in the Crawlers Cup against St Helens. I had to watch my P's and Q's there.
I'm glad
otherwise
you said that.
Adrian would be on me back.
That's why I've kept my mouth shut.
I thought there was a reason there, Dave. And, well, it was two strong lineups which took the field. Saints gave extra game time to Jack Owens, who they signed from Widnes in the close season. They had Dominic Peyrou on the field once again. Attilia Veya continues his comeback, and Lama Tazi also got some good game time as well. And the Vikings, well, they managed to get Chris Bridge on the field. Rhys Hanbury played. There was the old stages at halfback in Kevin Brown and Joe Meller. And of course, Widnes fans had the first look at Setamata Sarr as well, following his move from Hull, wasn't it, where he was playing last year?
Yeah, and yes, two strong lineups there, and a very, very good result for the Vikings there. You know, very strong Saints team. I'm sure Saints would have Saints fans would have expected to maybe win that, but of course Widnes not having the best of matches against Warrington earlier on. But you know, Dennis Betts, true to his word, he said, you know, they probably weren't ready for a game then. Well, it looks like Widnes are ready to start now, because they weren't brilliant the week before. We covered that game here on Radio General as part of our commentary, and you know, they let three tries in right at the end, and it was very, very sloppy. You know, they didn't seem very creative, and I know Adrian was pretty down, you know, when he was summing up the match, and obviously, you know, they've improved over the week, and some great scores, and you know, the backs are scoring tries. Tries for Arvan, Meller, Hanbury. You know, Paddy Flynn got one right at the end as well. So
he grabbed two, actually, did Hanbury. Yeah. And for me, he really played well at the back end of last season when the chips were down and Widnes needed performances in the middle eights.
He always plays well in the derby against Warrington. He scored some absolute worldies in the way of tries over the past few years. You know, I don't like seeing him playing for Widnes when he's playing against Warrington.
For St Helens, well, they started the game particularly strongly, didn't they? They had a try early doors from Mark Percival. Then there was a couple of tries from Jordan Turner. But other than that, they faded away, didn't they?
They did, and as I said, you know, strong Saints team. They had a strong pack as well playing, and it looks like Widnes managed to manage that and come out on top. So again, you can't probably take a lot into friendly matches, but it's nice to get a win under the board and a good performance as well. To score 30 points at Langtree Park, it's a good performance for the Vikings.
Now, Dennis Betts after the game, he said that both teams have a lot of levels to go up, but this was a really strong performance and things really worked for us today. The intensity wasn't there last week, but today our timing was better, we defended our line really, really well, and Christine, Lloyd White and Reece Hambrick were fantastic. The signs are good, now we've got to turn it into points with a tough run ahead of us.
Spot on, absolutely spot on. Although Dave, you need to be a bit more gruff when you're doing your Dennis Betts impression.
You didn't hear my Dennis Betts impression last week?
No.
Oh, it was a classic one. Okay. It was. You know, as he's done the voiceover, hasn't he, as part of the Super League campaign?
Yeah. He sounds good though. He does sound good on the voiceover.
He does sound good actually. Yeah, he does. He does. But then you miss my little added bit at the end where he goes, "It's all about passion. And pace. And strength."
You know what? Closed my eyes then. I thought Dennis was in the room with us for a second.
Either that or Bernard Manning. One of the two. I don't know. Anyway, there was a whole raft of other friendlies played last weekend, and I'll take you through the results, shall we? It was Barrow Raiders 0, Oldham 22. We've already covered Warrington 46, Lee 4. Castleford Tigers 32, Wakefield Wildcats 6. Denny Solomona scoring 4 tries in that one, Dave.
I think he's one to maybe put your money on as one of the top try scorers. He scored quite a few tries last year for the Tigers, and I think they'll be trying to throw the ball out wide with Joel on the other wing as well.
Only played about half their matches last season as well, and I think he scored something like 15, 16 tries, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think when he gets one, he usually gets a hat-trick.
Yeah, he's that sort of player, isn't he? Talking about phenomenal performances, what about Hull? They downed Hull Kingston Rovers 60 points to 20. There's some fans from Hull Kingston Rovers even talking for Chris Chester's head. It's only pre-season.
I know, shocking, but you know, you never want to lose against your biggest rivals. I'm sure a few Widnes fans didn't enjoy getting beat 40-0 over Christmas either, so maybe we take a little bit too much into that. But Hull FC, as we always say, they always seem to underachieve. So, but I'm hearing that Leon Price was exceptional, and Frank Pritchard as well in that game.
I think Frank Pritchard could turn out to be one of Super League star men this year, because he's just a no nonsense forward, always has been.
He has, and looking forward to seeing him. Hopefully, he doesn't have one of his better games when we see him at the Halliwell John Stadium this year, or at the Select Security Services Stadium, of course.
It was St Helens 16, Widnes 30, as we mentioned. Featherstone Rovers 24, Hunslet Hawks 10. Swinton Lions 24, Rochdale Hornets 30. That was a bit of a turn up for the books, wasn't it? Because Swinton playing the championship this year. Rochdale fresh on the back of managing to secure Chris Riley on contract there.
I was going to say, it's the Chris Riley factor. That's it. It's the ginger factor.
I always rated Chris Riley. I don't know what your thoughts were. I always thought that
loved him. Loved him. One of my favourite players.
He just never give up.
He didn't. And I think what it was he's such a nice fella as well. And, you know, saw him outside of rugby league as well. And, you know, he'd always come over and, you know, have a chat with her. And, you know, he loved Warrington to bits. And, you know, just sadly, you know, he just didn't work out for him in the end. But we had a lot of good seasons. And at one stage, Chris Riley was the leading Warrington try scorer at the Halliwell Jones Stadium. It was only later on that Joel Monaghan overtook him. So, you know, to have that record as well, absolutely phenomenal.
So it's a delight to see him back in the game and
definitely
playing in the colours of Rochdale Hornets this season.
I'll be keeping an eye out for their results just because of that.
Doncaster, they've virtually rebuilt their squad over the course of the close season. They beat Oxford 54 points to 4. Leeds Rhinos beat Bradford Bulls 26-12 in the Carl Ablett testimonial. I tell you what, I didn't realise that Carl Ablett had been at Leeds that long. He doesn't seem that long.
No, he doesn't really, but he's been there through all the good parts of Leeds Rhinos. And difficult game that. They were 12-10 down at one stage just before half time. So, you know, made it tough. And they're going to be even tougher next week when Warrington turn up.
Maybe the signs are good for Bradford with a season in the Championship to come as well.
Possibly. And, you know, they were only one game away from being promoted and, you know, not many points either. So they were very close to winning that game against Wakefield.
London Broncos, they hosted a guest Australian side called Yowies. I have to admit, I'd never heard of them before. But they beat them.
Isn't that what Captain Caveman's they used to, one of the girls, like the Angels out of Captain Caveman, she's got Yowie, didn't she? Or is that Zowie?
I have no idea. I'm looking Google. At you rather blankly at the moment, Dave.
Come on, you know Captain Caveman. People who are listening know Captain Caveman.
Captain Caveman.
I'm not doing the full impression.
It was Batley Bulldogs 36, North Wales Crusaders 18. Local pride was at stake between Whitehaven and Workington. Whitehaven winning that one by 12 points to 6. Huddersfield Giants 26, Catalans Dragons 16. I thought that was a really good hit out for both those Super League sides.
Yeah.
York City Knights 16, a youthful Castleford Tigers 20. It's not even mentioned Salford's great result against Wigan, 32 points to 16 they won at the weekend.
Whoever puts these scores, it must be a Wigan fan because they didn't want to see it. Or it could be right that Mao and Kukas just say there's something against Salford with the RFL because that's the website you're looking on at the moment.
Maybe he has got something after all. Hey, I don't know.
You never know.
You never know.
We love you, Mao.
Well, to be fair, I have to admit, I do. I've really warmed to the fella. I think that the fact that he opens his mouth and there's a page about rugby league appears somewhere, I think that you can't buy that sort of publicity that he gets the game.
Definitely not as well. And, hopefully this season, you know, he's put his money where his mouth is. Hopefully you can get a team that does the same as well. And, of course, Tim Sheehan's, you can't get a better coach in world rugby league, can you?
You definitely can't. And just looking at my highlight from those particular friendlies that we've mentioned there, I always love to see Whitehaven and Workington results because the two of them hate each other, and yet the two of the closest teams geographically that you can come across, really. I think by distance apart, there's only Dewsbury and Batley, which is closer.
Right.
And, it was a very low-scoring affair, like I mentioned.
It's been very wet and rainy, though, in that neck of the woods, hasn't it? So I'm sure the pitch wasn't up to the perfect conditions that maybe some of the other stadiums were.
Two players simbined.
Fantastic.
So that just shows you just what you need to know, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Good proper battle.
Two first-half tries for Whitehaven from former Widnes player Grant Gore and Taylor. Chris Taylor, former Wigan player. He was the man who got Simbin in the second half as well for Whitehaven. Workington Town, they threw everything but the kitchen sink. In fact, come to think of it, around there, they probably chucked the kitchen sink as well, to be honest. But, Town replying with a try after 52 minutes by Sam Forrester. He was a player that really stepped up to championship level last season, so I'm looking forward to seeing how he develops over the course of this year.
Could be a name to look out for.
And former Lee and St Helens halfback Cal Forber, he kicked one goal, but it wasn't quite enough to overturn Whitehaven. So that was the pick of the results as far as I was concerned. Any which stand out for you, Dave?
Warrington Wolves beating Lee 46-4.
Oh, we've done that one to death. I'm going to consign that one to the history.
I'm only joking now.
Thanks.
As I said, you have to look at the whole FC result, 60 points to 20. You know, it doesn't matter. Whether it is a friendly, it's still too. I always say to, if anyone's never watched rugby league before, and I'm always telling them to watch a match, I would tell them to watch the whole derby. It doesn't matter whether they're both at the bottom of the league or at the top of the league. I think just for all out passion, and it's always a great game. And I always look at that game, and even like the Magic Weekend, last year. You know, I wasn't going to go on the Saturday, and I was in Newcastle, and I thought, you know what, it's Hull against Hull KR, I'm going. And, it didn't let you down. So for me, a great result for a Hull FC, but they've got to carry that into Super League and do a little bit more, otherwise people will be not only the Hull KR fans shouting for the coach's head. I think Lee Radford could be, his head could be on the chopping block as well if they don't bring that form in. But they've got the players, they've got the big names there. They just need to somehow bring it all together.
Well, interesting to note as well that their starting front row of Liam Watts, Danny Houghton and Scott Taylor, there's not a much better front row than that in the entire Super League, when on the day, all those players are really dynamic, aren't they?
I've said this numerous times. If I could sign one player from any other Super League club, it would be Danny Houghton for Warrington. Simple as. And not because Darryl Clark's not played well or Brad Dwyer's not played well. I just think Danny Houghton for what he does, he gets the team going forward, and he's an absolute machine when it comes to tackling. Absolute machine. But, he puts the attacking in as well, and gets the team moving. Fantastic player.
And they've they brought in Mark Minicello last season. He had a great year on
Humberside. Very good.
Rumour has it that he's actually wanting to extend his stay as well, so he's obviously settled in now, hasn't he?
Very much so. And again, you know, good no-nonsense forward, but I don't know what happens with Hull. You know, sometimes, you know, they had great results. They had a great win at Warrington last year at the Halliwell Jones Stadium. There was two very close games. They won one with a last-minute drop goal from Mark Snaid at Warrington. And of course, it was 7-6 in the early match at the KC Stadium. But again, you know, they beat Leeds. You know, they went to St Helens and won. But then they lose silly games, you know. So there's no consistency there. And, you know, people said Leon Price didn't play very well last year. He also had a bad shoulder injury, which finished his game. I think that was actually in the derby when that happened. But by all means, he was one of the star performers. So again, you get a Leon Price on form, you know, there's no better standoff.
Have Hull Kingston Rovers got plenty to worry about, because they've conceded a heck of a lot of points in their friendlies that they've done so far?
Yeah, I'm sure they won't enjoy that, but I think their home form always gets them by. It's a very difficult place to play, and they always seem to raise the game, especially at home. It's just getting those extra wins away from home to push themselves, you know, into the top eight standings rather than going through the middle eights, which of course they were unbeaten last year. Also with the added thing of the Challenge Cup as well on top of that, which we don't like to talk about because they beat us in the semi-final.
Hang on. This is just what we want to talk about. No. We want to talk about the Challenge Cup, but no, not about the semi-final. Not last year.
Or the year before that.
Yeah. Man, you've got Tom Lynham now, so everything's going to be better.
Well, yeah. Hopefully.
What I wanted to concentrate on for the closing stages of our show this evening was actually the fixtures coming up for the Challenge Cup. It's round one this coming weekend, where the amateur clubs get on the Wembley trail. And I wanted, because I made a right hash of this the other week.
Do you want me to read the games out then?
No. I'll read them out, but I want you to sort of pad them a little bit. You know, you tell me what you know. We have only got 5 minutes, It's not a problem.
All right.
So, the first game out of the hat, London Chargers against Shawcross.
Absolutely nothing.
You got
me with that one.
That's or Heath against Hunslet Club Parkside.
Well, Fatto East St Helens, isn't it?
It is.
Of course, yeah. So, and I don't know, that Libre is form club as well.
Yeah, you're right there. There you go. This will be a good one for you. Aberdeen Warriors against Northumbria University.
Oh, great set of teams. Great set of lads. Fantastic.
Standing Lear at home to Pilkington Rex.
Pilkington, that's Glass as well, isn't it? That's St Helens.
You're right.
There you go, yeah.
Normanton Knights at home to Dissington.
Normanton, of course, Wakefield as well. I'm looking at the postcodes, by the way, I'm cheating.
Oh, I see, you've got Google Maps open. That's what Dave's doing over there. Yeah. Dissington, of course, they're up from Cumbria Way.
Oh, right, okay.
I think it's somewhere between Whitehaven and Workington, actually. West Bowling host Lock Lane.
Oh, Bradford.
Lee Miners Rangers at home to Underbank Rangers. Now, the two of those clubs, they met last season in the Amateur Challenge Cup.
Oh, right, okay.
And that saw Lee Miners beat Underbank 40-6. So I'm sure they'll come to Twist Lane with Underbank looking to turn the tide a little bit.
But how do you think Lee will get on? Do you think they're strong enough to win that one?
I'm really interested to find out how they go on this season, because last year they did their own Leeds Rhino story where they won the treble. They were the top amateur club in the country, and I do think that is an intriguing battle. It's certainly one that I'll be at for.
And if they can get a good run in the Challenge Cup as well, maybe they can pit themselves against, you know, maybe not get a Super League club, but then get as far as, you know, playing you know, some of the Championship clubs or the league below. They, you know, they could test themselves against them.
Well, last season, I mean, they beat Oxford 32-6, you know, which was a real comprehensive performance, to be honest, by Lee Miners. And it was only a scoring spurt before half time which saw York City Knights get away from them as well. York ended up winning that one 44-14, but it was one of those where the scoreline didn't really tell the whole story of the game, really. So that's Lee Miners back on the Challenge Cup trail. East Leeds at home to Alton Raiders. Millham at home to the University of Hull. The Royal Navy, they're at home to Featherstone Lions. Widnes West Bank, this is Adrian's closest club.
Oh, yeah.
I expect him to be at this one, to be honest, against Rochdale Mayfield.
I'm sure he'll be at the Ted Gleave Sports Ground on Saturday afternoon, if you want to meet Adrian. meet and greet.
Loughborough Hornets take on the Royal Air Force.
They're my team because I've got family who serve in the Air Force. My sister was also in the Air Force for a few years, so they're my team. I'll be hoping they do all right.
Excellent. Then we've got Hull Dockers taking on the Thornhill Trojans. Egremont Rangers at home to the Blue Bulls. Kells at home to Nottingham Outlaws. That's a long trip for Nottingham, isn't it, all the way up to Cumbria?
It is, and especially with the weather at the moment as well. I'm not sure some of these games, the only problem is at the moment some of these games may end up getting called off. I know the Barrow-Warrington fixture's in a bit of doubt at the moment, so I'm not sure what it's like at Kells at the moment as well, but I'm sure they'll be trying to get everything on there as well.
York Acorn, they're at home to Shelston Rovers. Both of those clubs have a bit of form in the Challenge Cup in previous years. The British Army at home to Siddle. Siddle are a great club, you know. They always seem to create and, you know, bring through plenty of young players. And finally, West Hull taking on the Great Britain Police.
Oh, exactly. Well, you know, we have to help Hull win that one, don't we? Controversial.
So, most of those games...
Sorry, officer, by the way, if you listen.
Most of those games due to take place on,
the way on
Saturday. Yeah, that's it. There's no way you're going home without a breath test. Two games on Sunday. That's just about us done and dusted for another Final Hooter. So my thanks go to Dave Butch.
Thank you, Dave.
Hope you've enjoyed it.
Oh, I've enjoyed every minute of it. Can't wait to come back.
Yeah, we'll bring you back again, honest.
Once.